Welcome to Antioch. We are a multi-generational, justice-minded church in beautiful Bend, Oregon, seeking and celebrating the reconciliation of all things. May the Word of God turn your heart toward Christ and the world He loves.
As we move from gathering to listening, our scripture reading today is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, sir. Morning, church. It is so good to see you all today. I am so glad that you're with us. If we haven't met yet, my name is Pete. Welcome to Antioch. I'm the lead pastor here, and believe me, I'm just as surprised by that as you are. My wife, Jen, and I have been married for 20 years now, and we have three teenagers. Mila is 13, Moses is 15, and Emma is 17. And I think they are the coolest kids in the world. They think I'm kind of meh. But Jen and I are both millennials, and the kids are kind of right at the edge of Gen Z and Alpha, which basically means they speak a totally different language than we do. Like, sometimes I need Google Translate to figure out what they're talking about. They use all these words like sus, cap, drip, cracked, gas, slay, cooked, chat, mid, op, stuff like that. And if you're over 30, that probably sounded like gibberish. That's actually Mila's order at Dutch Bros. And sometimes when I'm working on a sermon, I'll like try to sprinkle in a little Gen Z slang and run it by my kids to see what they think. So like one time I was thinking about the word riz. If you don't know, riz is like someone who has this attractive style or charm to them. It's what we used to call game, right? And I was telling my kids, well, riz is actually short for charisma. And charisma comes from the Greek root charis, which means grace. And charis is also where we get the word Eucharist, which is the Lord's table where Christ draws us to himself and gives us his grace. And I was like, what do you guys think about that? And they had stopped listening a long time ago. And so I scrapped that. But then when I was getting ready for today, I was like, all right, guys, how about an Easter sermon called Christ is Risen? And I can't tell you how much respect they lost for me in that moment. I don't think I've ever disappointed anyone so badly before. I love having teenagers, but sometimes I do miss when they were little, and especially all the cute and surprising things that little kids say. Like one time when Emma was about 3, we were heading over to my parents' house, and their dog had recently died. And Emma had never been around death before. And so while we were driving over, Jen and I had to explain to Emma why Chica wasn't going to be at Papa and Grandma's house anymore. And so Emma's in her car seat in the back, and I say, "Hey, Em, we've got some sad news. Chica died." And without missing a beat, Emma goes, "That's okay. Maybe she won't die next time." And we like tried to explain that's not quite how this works. But she just wasn't worried about it. I don't know where she got the idea that dying isn't that big of a deal, but she was pretty upbeat about the whole thing. That's okay. Maybe she won't die next time. So that was Emma's first encounter with death. And There's like this sweet naivety to the whole thing, this idea that dying isn't the end of the story. And she was just a little girl after all. Like, she didn't understand how life really works. She didn't know how hard it can be to be human. She hadn't experienced a world full of suffering and loss, evil and injustice. She didn't know about cancer or poverty or war or addiction. She thought of death more as a comma than a period. But here's the question. What if Emma was right? What if death really isn't the end of the story? What if this life isn't all there is? In John chapter 12, Jesus is explaining to his disciples that the way he's going to save the world is by dying. And they're having a hard time understanding what he's talking about. And so Jesus explains it to them using a metaphor from the world of gardening. In verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." So Jesus basically says, if you don't get how gardening works, and you see someone take a seed and put it in the ground and cover it with dirt, it might look like that seed is being buried, but it's actually being planted. And Jesus says that his life is just like that seed, that soon he's going to die and be buried in the ground. And that's exactly what happened. A few days later, Jesus was arrested, tried, sentenced to death, and executed on a Roman cross. And in the eyes of everyone who was there that day, his death was proof that he was a fraud and a failure. Because if you don't get how gardening works, and you see Jesus' body being laid in a tomb, you might think he was being buried, but he was actually being planted. See, what we celebrate on Easter is that for Jesus, death wasn't the end of the story. The reason we're here today is because Jesus died and was buried, but on the third day, he rose from the dead like a seedling sprouting up through the soil. And here's where it gets even better. The Bible says that Jesus' resurrection is the first fruit of a new creation, meaning there's a whole lot more where that came from. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes, "If we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his." So what Christians believe, what Christians have always believed, is that one day we're going to die, but then, just like Jesus, we're going to rise again. And we're not talking about a spiritual or a metaphorical resurrection. Jesus literally, physically rose from the dead, and we will too. And I know that sounds crazy, and I admit that that can be pretty hard to believe. But what if it's true? If Easter's true, it would change absolutely everything. A few months ago, my grandma, Dorothy Heidebrecht, passed away. She was 93 years old. She lived a long and full life. She loved God. She loved people. She left behind 4 kids, 12 grandkids, and 22 great-grandkids. And so this past January, we all gathered together at a cemetery in Fresno, California for her graveside service. And we shared memories of Grandma. We celebrated her life. We reflected on her death. And then each one of us took a flower and laid it on top of her casket. And then they lowered her body down into the ground. They filled the grave with dirt. And that was it. Grandma was gone. But here's the thing. If you don't get how the gospel works, it probably looked like Dorothy Heidebrecht was being buried, but she was actually being planted. Because when you're buried, that's the end of the story. But when you're planted, that's just the beginning. What that means is that the good news of Easter isn't that God promises us an easy or comfortable life. It's that he promises resurrection. He promises that death isn't the end of our story, that one day Jesus will return and the dead in Christ will rise with him and live with him forever in the new world that he's making, a world where death is no more. So of course, when grandma dies, we're sad. Of course, we grieve and mourn and miss her. But if Easter's true, then that's okay. She's not going to die next time. How do I know that? Because about 2,000 years ago, in a garden in Jerusalem, the stone was rolled away, and a man who was dead got up and walked out of the grave. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Death has been defeated. I want to close by sharing with you the greatest Easter sermon ever preached. And this is the sermon that's preached in every Orthodox church around the world on Easter Sunday every year. We did this last year. It may become a new tradition for us too. But this sermon was written about 1,600 years ago, so the language is pretty archaic. So I've taken the liberty of rewriting it in modern Central Oregonian English. So I'm going to read it for you. It'll take about 5 minutes. And then we'll come to the table and receive the riz of Christ. So this is the Paschal homily of St. John Chrysostom, translated into American by St. Pete Kelly. If you're here this morning bursting with love for God, today's the perfect day to let it all out in praise. If you're overflowing with gratitude for all the Lord has done, don't hold back. Sing, dance, and laugh with joy. And if you barely made it today and life still feels like Lent, guess what? You're here, and that's something to celebrate. For those of you who have known God since you were little and you can't even remember your life before Christ, what a wonderful gift you've been given. And for those of you who met Jesus in your youth, he's so proud of the person you've become. For those who came to faith as an adult, you didn't know it, but he was there with you the whole time. And for those of you who didn't trust Christ until your later years, don't worry. Nothing is wasted. Your entire life is being redeemed. And to anyone of any age who has just recently come to Jesus, you're not too late. He likes to save the best for last. Because he's the kindest, most compassionate God you can imagine. He's the perfect father, and he loves all his kids the same. Whether you've been with him for decades or just arrived, we're all one big family. He cherishes you no matter where you came from or how you got here. He considers your life a gift, even though he's the one who gave it. He delights in you for who you are and for who you're becoming. So bring your whole self, everything you've got, and enter in to the joy of the Lord. Because no matter who you are, you're in the right place today. Whether you're young or old, you are wanted and needed here. Whether you're rich or poor, we all eat at the same table. Whether you're happy or miserable, there's no better place for you to be. Whether you've been marching straight and narrow or floating loose and lazy, pull up a chair, join the party, dig in. There's plenty for everyone. Let's feast like royalty, eat and drink like queens and kings. Enjoy every bite, savor every sip. This is the good stuff. Yeah, there's still suffering in the world, but its days are numbered. Yeah, we still struggle with sin, but forgiveness is stronger. Yeah, life is short and fragile, but you don't need to be afraid anymore. Why? Because Jesus stared death in the face and told it to go to hell. And then he snuck into hell with it and blew it up from the inside. The prophet Isaiah saw this coming. He said that one day heaven and hell would face off and that hell wouldn't stand a chance. And he was right. Instead of breaking loose, hell was squished under his thumb. Hell was humiliated in front of the whole world. Hell was furious at the joke it had become. Hell was horrified by its pending doom. It set a trap to catch a man, but it could never contain God. It picked on earth, but then it had to answer to heaven. It took everything in sight, but it never saw this coming. Resurrection. So death, what are you going to do now? You're pretty harmless without your stinger. And hell, you talked a big game, but then you got destroyed and it wasn't even close. Because Christ is risen and death is rotting in its grave. Christ is risen and the demons have been slayed. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and eternity has begun. Christ is risen and all the graveyards will soon be empty. Yes, my friends, Christ is risen, which means that one day you and I will rise too. Death has been defeated. Jesus has done it. All glory and honor to him forever. Amen.